So how's everyone doing today? So over the last 3 weeks, we've been going through a series in Deuteronomy. We've been talking about gratitude. We've been going through one of Moses' last messages to the Israelites. And for a recap for those who haven't been here or might be joining us for the first time online, a little background on the passage. It's taking place after the Israelites have been wandering for 40 years through the desert due to their disobedience of God. They were set free from the Egyptians, and now they're sitting on the other side of the Jordan, looking over the river into the promised land. So go ahead and open up, if you have your Bibles, to Deuteronomy chapter 8. We're going to be reading verses 11 through 18. And as a reminder, gratitude means the quality of being thankful, the readiness to show appreciation for and to return kindness. So in Deuteronomy chapter 8, starting in verse 11, take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them. And when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there is no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do good in the end. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day. So for those of you who don't remember, Deuteronomy means copy or repetition, or the second law, or repeating the law to the Israelites. So in classic Deuteronomy style, we're going to repeat what we've been talking about the last 3 weeks. So over the last 3 weeks, Pastor Evan has broken down this passage. And in verses 12 through 13, we see that God is our provider and that we have to have gratitude for his provision. Deuteronomy 8:12 through 13. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied. It's pretty awesome. How many of you wish everything you had was multiplied? Man, everyone's happy with what they have and they don't want more. That's awesome. And then verses 14 through 15, we see that God is our protector. Deuteronomy 8, 14 through 15, then let your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock. And then last week, we looked at remembering. Say remember. We have to remember that everything that we have is not by our own power, but by God's graciousness and his power we have what we have. In verses 17 through 18, beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day. So this week, we're kind of going to be wrapping up this series. We've taken a look at the different reasons on why we should be thankful or why we should have gratitude. And it's funny that this message actually wasn't going to be part of this series. But a few weeks ago, Pastor Evan knew that he wasn't going to be here, so he asked me to preach this Sunday, and I was like, oh, I don't really know what I'm going to do, and then we're at youth convention, And all of a sudden, I got this series that I needed to do for the youth. And it was called Thanks Living. So I'm going through and I'm working it out. And then as I'm talking to Evan about exactly what he's going to be doing through the series, I'm like, man, this actually fits perfectly with what the series of gratitude is. So over the last few weeks, we've been looking at why we should have gratitude for what God has done. And this week, to kind of wrap it up, we're going to be looking at the how. How can we have gratitude? The why is important, but the how is even more important. So the title of the sermon for youth was Thanksgiving, Living a Life of Thanksgiving. So I think to kind of be more fitting for the series, instead of living a life of thanksgiving, we can change it to living a life of gratitude. So one story when I think about why versus how that comes to mind is when I worked at the dealership. Worked on cars, and we had this customer that bought a brand new manual car, drove it around for a while, and then all of a sudden the car stopped working. It wasn't moving anymore. Brought it into the shop, mechanic took it apart, took a look at the transmission. The clutch was completely burned out. There was clutch material everywhere. It was toast. So they thought, oh, well, it's probably just a factory defect. Replaced it, fixed it up, set it on its way. Come to find out, when the customer came and picked up the car, they didn't know how to drive a manual. They're driving away, and you can clearly hear that they're not using their clutch at all. They're just kind of grinding through the gears, and yeah, it was not good. They understood that they needed to change the gears in a manual, but they didn't know how to do it. So sometimes we're in that same situation. We know that we need to thank God for what we have and what he's done, but how do we show him our gratitude? Today we're going to be taking a look at three different ways to thank God and to show him our gratitude. The first one is vocally, through our prayer and our worship. Worship is probably one of the most popular ways when you think of thanking God, you think of worship or even prayer. Vocally is a very common way to thank someone. I mean, when someone does something good for you, what do you say? Thank you. That's the first thing that comes to mind, is saying thank you to them. In Psalm 100, verses 1 through 5, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with what? Thanksgiving. And his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. And his faithfulness to all generations. So this is something I always bring up in youth. And Truett and Chase can probably recite this. What does the word worship come from? It comes from an old English word, worth-ship, which literally means to give something worth. When you thank someone for what they did, you are giving worth to their actions. You're showing them and telling them how much what they did means to you. You're giving it value. So at its core, worship is gratitude. Worship is showing thanks. We just finished up a small group, for those of you who are part of it, called Holy Roar, from Chris Tomlin and Darren Whitehead. Shameless plug for small groups. If you guys aren't a part of one, next time we do them, you definitely should sign up and join a small group. They're amazing. You build great relationships with other people and have a great time of diving into the word and really studying a specific topic. And in this series, we took a look at the seven Hebrew words for worship. We did a series like a year or so ago on the same thing where we took a week for each word that's used for worship and kind of talked about what it meant and how to do that form of worship. And I really liked something that they said at the end of it. So these words for worship all describe different ways or acts of worship, like bowing, singing a new song, raising your hands, all these different ways. And we kind of look at that, at least I have, and think of, well, these are different ways that we can worship. These are different actions that we can do to worship. But I really like what they said at the end of this. These aren't ways that we can worship. These are all ways that we are supposed to worship. Sometimes being thankful and showing gratitude is not something that's comfortable. Sometimes showing how much something means kind of makes you step out of your box a little bit, your comfort zone. And this is where worship is. We easily get stuck into our rut of worship. We come in, we sing the songs, we raise our hands when the music gets loud and put it back down, and we move on and finish service and go home. But worship is more than just the words on the screen. It's more than just the melodies that we sing. Worship needs to be coming from our heart and showing God how thankful we are for everything that he has done for us, giving worth or value to who he is and what he has done. So worship was the first way that we vocally do it. The other way is prayer. So what is prayer? I mean, prayer is really just having a conversation with God. It's just talking to God. A lot of us, we might picture prayer as the time where we might be on our knees or bowing our heads, folding our hands, closing our eyes, and thank you, Jesus, for this food. Amen. But it's not just a dedicated time to be talking. Think about this. How do you conversate or talk with your friends? Let's say Nolan was to text me one day. I look at my clock. Oh, it's only 2 o'clock, Nolan. Sorry, your time slot's from 3 to 3:30. I can't talk to you yet. That doesn't make any sense, does it? Talking with our friends, talking with our family doesn't have a specific time slot. So why does prayer? Why do we limit prayer to a time? It doesn't have to be this formal thing. A prayer could even be as simple as, thank you, God, for letting me catch all the lights green as I was late on my way to work, so I didn't have to wait at each light and be late. Thank you, God, for not dealing with any difficult people at work today that I got frustrated with because I didn't get much sleep. Thank you, God, for this roof over my head, this food, this amazing food as we just finished up Thanksgiving. Thank you, God, that Michigan was able to beat Ohio State again. Prayer is not a specific time. And in Colossians 4, it says that we need to devote ourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of what? Thanksgiving. It's crazy when you look through the Bible at how much thanksgiving or gratitude comes up. It's woven into everything. It needs to be our lifestyle. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping an attitude of thanksgiving. Something else we always talk about on Wednesdays is the Acts model of prayer. Has anyone ever heard of that before? I think I've talked about it on Sundays too. Hopefully, Truett could recite this. If not, I have to drill it into his head more. But here it is. So the ACTS way of praying is an acronym, and it breaks it down into A is adoration, so praise and worship. C is confession, confessing your sins. Any guesses on what T is? Thanksgiving. Thanking God for what he has done and who he is. And then S, supplication or your requests. This is, to me, a great model to follow in your prayers. It's great for new believers who really don't know what to pray or how to pray. And it's great for people who have been a Christian their whole life. Because it helps to give you kind of a focus to your prayer. Those of you who know me probably know, especially the youth, that my mind is all over the place. I can go from one place to another in like a second, and it seems like it has no relation at all. And it really bugs Liz as she's back there shaking her head, because we'll be sitting on the couch or talking, and we'll talk about a certain conversation, and I'll think of something or she'll say something, and all of a sudden my mind makes like 20 different connections in 1 second, and I'm on a completely different topic talking about it, and she's just looking at me confused, like, what are you talking about? And then I have to take the next like 10 minutes to explain why I connected this to this to this to this to this, this and where I got it. So sometimes that's how our prayer is, and we might not realize what we're doing with our prayer, and it's very easy to get distracted and get caught up with asking God for requests. And but when you have this, it makes it clear that thanksgiving, thanking God, needs to be at the core of our prayer. Thanking God or showing him gratitude for what he's done. So I have a little story for you guys. There was a guy who was cleaning his attic one day, and he found a lamp. He picked up the lamp and rubbed the dust off the lamp, and a genie popped out. Shocker, right? And the genie came out and said, I will grant you 3 wishes as a token of my gratitude to you for freeing me from that lamp. So the guy thought about it, and his first wish was for $1 billion. And the genie grants it. Then the guy's like, I want a huge mansion with 2 Lamborghinis and 2 Ferraris. Unfortunately, he couldn't have the Maserati because Pastor Evan gave it away. And then the genie grants that wish. And then the genie says, this is your last wish. So really make this one count. And the guy says, well, I've always wanted to drive out to the Hawaiian Islands because airplanes scare me to death. So I would want a highway that could stretch from here all the way to the islands. And the genie says, that is asking for quite a lot, and I'm not sure if I can pull that off. Is there anything else you'd want? And the guy stops. He thinks about it for a second. And he says, well, I've been married and divorced 3 times. I just can't understand what I'm doing wrong. I've given all my ex-wives all the love and care that I could, but in the end, it was never enough. I would want the ability to understand women. The genie thinks and looks at him. Do you want 3 or 4 lanes for that highway? So just like this genie, this brings us to our second point of the ways to show gratitude, physical actions. The genie was thankful that he was freed from his lamp, so he wanted to grant this guy the 3 wishes, showing him his gratitude. Have you ever heard the phrase, action speaks louder than words? It's very true, especially with our gratitude. So the first one we had is verbally saying thank you. But how many of you, someone showing you their gratitude or their thankfulness for what you've done means more than just a simple thank you? Yeah. You can say anything you want. Might not mean it, but if you do something about it, that really shows that you truly mean what you are saying. The same goes with our gratitude, showing our gratitude to God. He has done so much for us, and our gratitude needs to go past our words and be shown in our actions to God. How can we do that, though? With our time and even with our money. So, this could be serving in the church. I get distracted so easily. This could be serving at the church through your tithes and your offerings. It could even be going outside the church and helping others with your time and with your money. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 10 through 15, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but it is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others. While they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. So kind of pulling last week's message in, he who supplies seed to the sower, because God has given you, you need to give it back. God has given you your gifts, your abilities, your money. He has given you everything that you have. You might be able to say, well, I worked hard for what I have. Who gave you that drive? Who gave you the opportunities? Who gave you the passions? You work hard for what you have, yes, but God gives you the ability to work hard for what you have. And because of this, we need to give it back to God to say thank you as another way of showing our gratitude. The genie could have very easily said, thanks for freeing me, peace, and disappeared. They're really excited down there. But he wanted to show how much what that man did meant to him. He wanted to show how much gratitude he had for the man freeing him from that lamp. And that brings us to our third way, your life. So we have vocally, through our physical actions, and through your life. This one kind of brings it all together. It takes the first two, it encompasses those, and it takes it further than just that. The first two can be instances. They can be specific situations where we say thank you. But this last one, going back to the title, brings us into living a life of gratitude. It's easy to show our gratitude when we're here at church, when we're around other people who are praying and worshiping, thankful for what God has done for them. But it gets a little bit harder when situations get tough, when things aren't going your way, when people around you don't believe what you believe. It gets a little bit harder. I mean, look at Paul and Silas. They're in jail. And what are they doing? They're praising and thanking God for what they have, their situation. In the middle of the chaos and the trouble, they're praising. We're supposed to be thanking God no matter what. When you're truly thankful for what God has done for you, it changes the way that you live. You've probably heard this quote before or seen it in the movies, but whenever someone does something like crazy, like save someone's life, what does the person typically say? I owe you my life. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 7. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Gratitude is not just an action. Thanking someone is an action, but gratitude needs to be a lifestyle. It needs to be something that's constantly happening, no matter the circumstance, no matter the situation. Jesus gave us the ultimate gift. We go back to the Deuteronomy passage. God protected the Israelites as they wandered through the desert. Jesus died on the cross to protect us from the consequences of sin. God provided through manna the Israelites everything that they need. God provided us through his Son a way to heaven. And we can't make it there on our own. Nothing we can do can earn us our way to heaven. Just, we can't. We can never be good enough. But through God's gift and his power, we're able to make it. This alone should be a reason enough for us to show and live our lives in a way of gratitude to God. If someone was to do something like that for you, wouldn't you want to go tell everyone, hey, Chase went and saved me as I was getting ready to fall off this cliff? He's scratching his head like he doesn't. But when someone does something like that for you, you want to tell everyone about it. You want to thank them with everything that you have. Yet we keep it silent. We live our lives like we normally do. We come to church, thank you, God, woohoo, and we go back and go along our lives. Gratitude needs to be a lifestyle. We're not just saying thank you, but we're living out that gratitude verbally, through our praise, through our worship, through our prayers, physically, giving back to God and to others, and living that lifestyle. No matter what, we thank you, God, for who you are and what you've done.